So hey everyone, Kim here. This is just an impromptu that I wanted to upload. I was in the middle of doing some editing for upcoming RLEs, and I really just kind of wanted to stop what I was doing and upload this video literally today, because this movie hits theaters on December 1st. Here we go again with Angel Studios, who is clearly a Mormon-based studio, releasing yet again another supposed Christian movie that I'm sure Christians are going to flock to. And part of the movie is coming from the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. So this movie, according to the writer, Brock Heasley, is loosely based upon the Book of Job. It's nowhere near based upon the Book of Job. So what we have to do in these last milliseconds that we're living in, these last days of apostasy growing, we have to be what Acts 17 calls a Berean. They went to the scriptures even after Paul had spoken to them. Why? Because they wanted to see if what even Paul said was true. That's why they were called noble. We need to be a Berean, whether it be in a movie, music, a message from your pastor, any form of a Christian stamp. We need to examine the ink, so to speak. So we're all familiar with the Book of Job. Job was a wealthy man, very prosperous, had livestock and lots of kids and just a very wealthy man. And in two fell swoops, Job lost it all. The premise of the book that we read, which of course goes against everything with Word of Faith, is when trials and testing come, is it at that point that what God maybe has blessed us with, that we learn to now curse God in the midst of those trials? Or do we rely more on what we have, the tangible, or are we actually relying on the Lord? And I'm not going to go into the whole story of Job. I mean, I believe it's 42 chapters. Read it yourself. There's a lot of meat there. Unfortunately, this movie does not provide any scriptural basis. But however, what it does provide, and we're going to see that here today, it does provide Mormon backing, Mormon theology. So one takeaway that we're going to play while we're playing the trailer here today is comparing that to what happened in the Book of Job. So sit back, grab your popcorn. And this movie is going to get a big fat zero. Do not see it. Do not recommend it. Do not participate in the works of darkness.
Where's my wife? I shifted her. What do you want with me?
This is not my world. I've never been to this lake before. Never walked its shores, but I will find my way back, and I will find my way back to my Molly. 5 years ago, I was left in this dark place, taken from my wife. The people here have no hope.
You still looking for that wife of yours? You're clinging to scraps of rumors.
And then he arrived.
Where's my wife? I shifted her. For every choice you make, there are countless other realities where you make a different choice. You're talking about parallel Earths. Imagine having the power to move people from one reality to the next, to shift them. What do you want with me? I can make you a king. Imagine everything you have ever wanted. Work for me and get back with the woman that you love.
Okay, we go on a date and maybe we kiss.
Hopefully.
He's not gonna shift you back to your wife. It's a trick.
If I choose you, that's the last choice I'm ever gonna make.
I will never leave you alone. I've seen a bunch of people like us out there looking for a little hope.
There is nothing that I won't do to you.
You can't just shoot the devil.
There is so much evil and inhumanity in this world, but there is also beauty and hope, and I will find my way back to her.
There are so many things, even within that trailer, that are unbiblical. First of all, the devil doesn't shift anything. There's not all of these different choices that all of a sudden are mapped out in the heavenlies, and you can pick, this is if you chose A, this is what would have happened, and B and C and D all the way through Z. So yes, do we have choice? Absolutely. Do we have free will? Absolutely. But there's not like different little boxes like, oh, well, if we chose that, that would have happened. So right off the bat, this is 100% unbiblical. Now, what we're going to see here is, now these are older videos, so just so you're aware, the very first shift that came out was, I feel like it was around 2020. Different actor, different devil, and it didn't go anywhere, so the movie fell flat. So now this is kind of the restart of this movie that actually made it to the movies. So if you go, you can see the original, if you just type it in, The Shift, you'll see the original 20-minute trailer that they put on originally. So what we're going to see now is the gentleman, Brock, is 100% a Mormon. But before we do that, I want to dive into super quick, why do Mormons believe this? First of all, Joseph Smith is burning in hell currently, realizing everything that he did was false and how he has deceived millions. And this is why I always say, what Jesus do you believe in? Because Mormons believe in Jesus as well. They believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So are you telling me a Mormon is going to heaven? Absolutely not. They're not. Now, this gentleman, you're going to see some clips here, an older clip from 2021. And the website, and you're also going to see that, These are Mormon people, guys. They have Mormon theology. They read from the Book of Mormon. They do not represent Christianity. They don't represent the Jesus of the Bible. They are all going to hell. Every single Mormon is going to hell. Now, Christians are going to line up, flock like they do from The Chosen and The Sound of Freedom. And Angel Studios also put out the after death little documentary thing. Angel Studios is deceiving the masses, and yet the masses are following them blindly. Why? Because they want to be entertained. Same principle with The Shack, a completely heretical movie, yet Christians today will still give it a hearty thumbs up. So who is this guy, Brock? He's a Mormon. And let's see their take on, well, his life, Jesus, the alternate realities and universes, and what do Mormons believe?
Let's take a quick break.
Everyone is podcasting these days. If this is something you want to do, or you're already doing it, I would recommend using Buzzsprout. Buzzsprout has tons of guides to help you find the right equipment at the right price. I currently use the Blue Yeti. Buzzsprout is an extremely user-friendly platform, and I could not be happier with their services. There are so many things that this site allows you to do, from your show being listed on every major podcast platform to the audio player that you can use seamlessly on your websites, to the detailed analytics of what we, come on guys, the podcasters want to see. Don't lie, I know you look at that too. We want to know who was listening, where they're listening, how long they're listening. There are zero hassles because Buzzsprout provides these tools and more to help promote our podcasts. Fellow podcasters, do we not work hard? Well, I am here to tell you that Buzzsprout works even harder to make our podcasts stream streamlessly. Yes, I know that's not a word. If you want to join a company that already has over 100,000 podcasters, click the link and let Buzzsprout know that we sent you. This will get you a $20 credit if you sign up for a paid plan. And in addition, of course, it'll help support our show. Don't delay. Start buzzsprouting today.
Robbery happened 8 years later, and that one he was only hit by 3 bullets, but he actually died. And so, you know, you look at that, for me in particular, 12 to 19, I was 19 years old when he died, and I was on my mission at the time. I was 10 months into my mission, but those are really formative years for me. And I felt this, just this surge of anger. It was just this well of anger immediately. And I just balled my hand up into a fist, and I hit the frame of the closet. And I just, you know, because I'm a missionary, I didn't cuss even in that moment. And I just said under my breath, you know, those jerks. And then just like that, the anger just disappeared. It was just gone.
Really?
It was gone. And I started to think about those men in a different way. And I thought about them as children of God.
But they're not children of God. And this is where Mormons don't understand. They think everyone is a child of God. And I'm not going to go into how you get to heaven and why they really don't believe in hell. We don't have time for all of that. Maybe I'll dive into one of the episodes on a false religion in January sometime. Right? God loves everyone. However, not everyone is his child. You're not adopted into the family until you accept the free gift of salvation.
I thought about them in the life before this one, when we all raised our hands and said, I'm going with Christ.
The life before this one, when we all raised our hands. What? Mormon's theology is not biblical theology. So how can one sit here and want to watch this movie when 100% it is from the Book of Mormon? Well, Kim, how do you get there? Well, I'm glad you asked. Okay, so this right here is coming from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints website. What I want to say is I do not have time to dive into the Book of Mormon, what they actually believe on some of these buzz terms. Again, maybe in January, Lord willing, I will dive into Mormonism, because it is a complete heretical teaching. It is demonic. Joseph Smith is demonic. Everything about Mormonism is demonic. And this is, again, the premise of The Shift and what they view of Satan. So if you're scrolling through here real quick, let me just do that. There's only 2 passages of scripture that they actually use regarding the devil. Revelation 12:9, which they take out of context, and also Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. However, you can see everything here, Doctrine and Covenants, Moses, Nephi. So you can see these other passages that they're using that are not biblical. Okay, so very, very quickly, Satan, also called the adversary or the devil, is the enemy of all righteousness and of those who seek to follow God. He is the spirit son of God, who was once an angel in authority in the presence of God. So I'm going to click really quick this Doctrines and Covenants, and I'm only going to read this one part. I just can't even read it without getting the heebie-jeebies. And this we saw also and bear record, that an angel of God who was in authority in the presence of God, who rebelled against the whole only begotten Son, whom the Father loved. Now, they're referring to Jesus, but they do not believe Jesus is like God in the flesh. Okay, so just again, maybe in January. And against the only begotten Son, whom the Father loved and who was in the bosom of the Father, was thrust down from the presence of God and the Son, and was called perdition from the heavens, wept over him. He was Lucifer, a son of the morning. And we behold, and lo, he is fallen, even a son of the morning. And while we were yet in the spirit, the Lord commanded us that we should write the vision. For we beheld Satan, that old serpent, even the devil who rebelled against God and sought to take the kingdom of our God and his Christ. Wherefore he maketh war with the saints of God and encompassed them round about. And we saw a vision of the sufferings of those with whom he made war and overcame. For thus came the voice of the Lord unto us. And goes into more heretical. Feel free to dive into all of this. It's really disgusting. So let's continue on. In Satan's rebellion against God, so I am right here. In Satan's rebellion against God, Satan sought to destroy the agency of man. So this is where it gets creepy. So I'm right here. As you can see, this paragraph, it says, Satan persuaded a third part of the hosts of heaven to turn away from the Father. As a result of this rebellion, Satan and his followers were cut off from God's presence, here we go, and denied the blessing of receiving a physical body. Now they're quoting Revelation 12, verse 9. No. Where does it say anything about a body? And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. I'm not seeing any clothing going on or physical body going on. So here we go. I'm down here now. There you go. He directs his most strenuous opposition at the most important aspects of Heavenly Father's. So again, they keep using that word Heavenly Father. I'm not going to go into the reasons why, but it's not in a holy way. It's in a creepy way, but we're not going to go there today. Aspects of Heavenly Father's plan of happiness. For example, he seeks to discredit the Savior and the priesthood. A lot in that, in the priesthood. There's a lot in the Mormon cult. To cast doubt on the power of the atonement. Again, they do believe in the shedding blood of Jesus, but not the way we do. All right, fine. I'll do a deep dive. To counterfeit revelation, which, remember, Joseph Smith founded Mormonism, their supposed true church based upon a vision in the wilderness. To distract us from the truth and to contradict individual accountability. He attempts to undermine the family by confusing gender, promoting sexual relations outside of marriage, ridiculing marriage, and discouraging childbearing by married adults who would otherwise raise children in righteousness. So what? Like, none of that is even scriptural, but okay. Individuals do not have to give in to Satan's temptations. And see how they're putting all the blame on the devil. The devil made me do it. It's kind of like deliverance on a whole new level. The devil made me do it. The devil. Well, no, sometimes we have to take accountability and crucify our flesh. Each person has the power to choose good over evil. And that's not really what sin is. Is sin evil? Absolutely. But I'm not choosing good over evil. Once I'm saved, I'm saved. If I choose to be in my flesh, I'm not going to hell. These people have a complete perversion of who Jesus is, what the atonement is, what sanctification is, what salvation is. It's disgusting. And the Lord has promised to help all who seek him through sincere prayer and faithfulness. That is not salvation. So hopefully that cleared that up for everyone here today. Now we're going to get into the brief discussion of, for this man, what made him want to not only write the book, but then also produce this movie regarding the shift. After everything that we just heard in their perception, I need you to hear what he has to say. Because again, guys, stay away from this movie. I am begging you to stay away from this movie. Stop putting lipstick on a pig and thinking that everything that has a faith-based theme is biblical. Because that pig is going to get slaughtered and it's going to get real messy.
So where does the shift come into this? Maybe, can I give a quick summary
Please.
Of it? Okay, so
do it.
The shift, I kind of have a special place in my heart for the shift too. When I was in college, I did a speech that was kind of a C.S. Lewis Screwtape-y letter type thing. It was General Conference in Hell.
Oh, cool.
And I was Satan, and I was, you know, talking to my audience. But anyways, but the shift is a man gets in a car accident, and he meets Satan. Satan's actually the guy that kind of patches him up.
Yeah.
Puts Band-Aids on him. That was one thing that I really thought was just so interesting was like, because Satan's, you know, portrayed so often as this, you know, red demon with horns and a tail.
Right,
but,
right.
Like, you portray him as a kind of a sleek character in a suit. And that's initially helping him.
Yeah.
He bandages him up and he helps him up. But then as things progress, he starts to realize who it is. And in summary, the shift explores a relationship between a normal guy and Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And you learn about, you know,
what Satan's all about and kind of what he tries to do to us. But where does that come into play in your life?
I wanted to pause it there real quick before we hear how it applies to his life. So the meeting of Satan, right? A slick suit wearing guy, very antichrist-like. Remember, the devil masquerades as an angel of light as these people are bound in a cult full of deception. Satan has all of them bound. But one thing I really didn't like is the relationship with man and Satan. Nowhere in the Bible do we read that, especially as a believer. I am not holding hands with the devil in anything. And many people have this misnomer that the devil is omnipresent, meaning that he can tempt me while he's tempting those two guys, while he's not tempting them because they're not believing in Christ, so he's kind of avoiding them. But he's tempting me while he's tempting you, while he's tempting 12 million people at the same time. That is not how the devil operates, because he's not omnipresent. He is not God. Stop putting God and the devil on the same playing field, or Jesus and the devil on the same playing field, because they're not equal. The devil in no way, shape, or form is anywhere near equal to the Son of God at all. They're not up in heaven waging war. Who is he waging war with? Michael. That's the only time we read that in the Bible. So I just wanted to pause that just for a moment to clarify, the devil is not having a relationship with anybody, because that is not biblical. And we're going to get to more of their heretical teaching now.
I guess.
Yeah. So for me, there's a direct connection between the story that I'm telling in the book, The Other Side of Fear, and The Shift, because they're both for me about God's love shining in the midst of darkness. Hmm. You know, there's not a whole lot of darker events that we can imagine than actually meeting Satan. Like, that would be, we would all freak out. Mm-hmm. And so that happens to this character. Main character's name is Kevin. That happens to Kevin. And he has to deal with that. He has to figure out what to do. And one of my big reasons for making the shift in the first place was because we have all seen many, many stories of man versus the devil, right? There's been a George Burns movie. There's been a Keanu Reeves movie. You know,
Supernatural,
yeah.
TV show.
Supernatural TV show. Yeah, it's a common thing, right? Mm-hmm. But the thing that I had never seen in any of those stories was a person, a character, dealing with the devil in the way that I would as a Christian.
Hmm.
That's the difference. That's the difference. And that's what I wanted to put on film. Mm-hmm. And so that's what happens at the end of The Shift, is that Kevin does what I would do in that situation, or what makes the most sense for me to do because I'm a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course there's the results of that, which I won't spoil. You can, it's only 20 minutes long. It's pretty easy to check out. But that is the point of it, is how do we as Christians deal with darkness in our lives? I've done that in my own personal life. Kevin does that in The Shift. And I think that is a really important thing to get across to people, a really important thing to represent,
mm-hmm.
and to do it in an intelligent way. You know, one of the reasons I did The Shift too is because I think a lot of faith-based films and fiction isn't really that great, to be honest.
This is kind of cheesy.
Yeah, yeah. And so
yours kind of, honestly, it kind of has a bit of a sci-fi element in it.
And it does. It has a sci-fi element. So we're doing, so I'm staking some territory here, right?
Yeah.
Where I'm saying this is a very different thing.
Yeah.
And in fact, if you watch it on YouTube, on a YouTube channel, I have a little intro, because I found that people need a little intro. They need a little bit of hand-holding to say, hey, you know, this is a different thing. It mixes sci-fi. It's dark. It's a little bit like Twilight Zone, but go with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those who do go with it, I have found universally, it resonates with them in a completely different way than most faith-based material does.
So to bring this in for a landing, and I'm going to end it with a little snippet from the book of Job, but let me just go through this really quick. So in the book of Job, we know that he lost his children. His livestock was stolen. His servants were killed. His health, really bad. I mean, if you do a deep dive on the sores that came over Job, it's pretty bad. So basically, the first step that Job took after he lost his children, and was said by a whirlwind, and just keep that in mind. So basically, some tornadic thing came through. So he tore his clothes, or tore his robe. That's his turmoil, right? His shock, his, oh my gosh, what just happened, right? And then he shaved his head, and then his falling to the ground, that's Job worshiping. Well, who was he worshiping? He's worshiping God. So in the midst of that tragedy, he is literally falling to the ground in worship. Then when his health, as I just said, were the sores all over his body, you had his wife saying, "You're just foolish. Why don't you curse God and die?" And then it goes into the encounter of Job's three friends. And then it goes into the dialogue of Job talking with God, never Satan. You never see a dialogue of Job and Satan having a conversation, or Job blaming Satan, never brought up. Then what is ironic, remember in the beginning, he lost his children, livestock was stolen, his servants were killed, except for the, I think it was three or four that came back to tell him everything that had happened. But then God spoke to Job in a storm, in a whirlwind. And then at that point, we all know that Job was like, but God, you know, because Job did. Of course he questioned what was happening, but he never walked away from God. And it was at that point in the dialogue, again, amazing book to read, absolutely. And then, you know, God is like, "Were you there when I hung the sun and the moon and the stars? Do you know this? Do you know my sovereign plan? Da, 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 da." So that was basically the dialogue between God and Job. Never do we hear about Satan talking with Job and Job talking with Satan.
You know, as a Latter-day Saint, we believe we have, you know, the restored gospel and the true church. Mm-hmm. And so we're like, we're set. Like, we're not going to go through any trials, because God right. doesn't give trials to people who know the truth and who have faith, you know. Right. But then after hearing that general conference, I was just like, no, that's not how it works.
It's absolutely not how it works. And the scriptures tell us that's not how it works.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the life of Joseph Smith. Has there ever been a man besides Jesus Christ who has been more punished than he has been?
Are you crazy?
And for what?
Yeah.
What, I mean, was he a perfect man? No, but he certainly didn't deserve all that was handed to him.
Yeah.
But I think one of the biggest examples, and we have it right there in the scriptures, and it's an often overlooked story, and that's Job. He has an entire book dedicated to him in the Bible, and Job is really a story of a guy who has done nothing wrong, who has misery heaped upon him.
Mm-hmm.
And the Shift feature film is going to be a modern day retelling of the story of Job. Because when you reach the end, I'm going to spoil it just a little bit here. When you reach the end of the Shift short film, you've got a person who has had a powerful witness of faith, mm-hmm. who knows that God is real.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens to that guy after that? That's what I want to explore in the feature film. Mm-hmm. When he walks out the door and goes into whatever his life is next, what happens to that guy? And what I want to happen to him is the same thing that happens to me and to you as a believer, which is life doesn't get easier.
Mm.
Life doesn't get easier. Mm. And so I have to deal with that. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean that maybe I was mistaken and maybe this witness I've had is wrong? Does it mean that I'm a bad person? Does mm-hmm. it mean that, what does it mean? And those are the questions that we ask ourselves. We ask ourselves, why is there suffering? Why is there darkness? Why is there bad things in this world when I'm trying to do right? And that's what the feature film is really going to deal with, that we're turning the short into a feature film. And I specifically want to tell the story of Job, because I don't think it's a story that's told a whole lot.
I hope you guys stuck here with this video for 30 minutes. I didn't think it would be this long, but I also didn't want to take shortcuts. So what exactly does the book of Job say? And I didn't go through all 42 chapters, but I did put together this to close us out.
There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless, upright, fearing God and turning away from evil. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where do you come?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said,
"From roaming about on the earth and walking around on it."
The Lord said to Satan,
"Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. Then Satan answered the Lord,
"Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? Have you blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land? But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has. He will surely curse you to your face."
Then the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not put forth your hand on him." So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord.